that we've got Billy DaCosta, and we're going to not be taking calls for the next 25 minutes just so we can jump in. And I've done a lot of these over the last 17 years, and it's always fascinating because I jump on to the web and start typing in names and get all sorts of interesting stories and backgrounds and everything. Billy, you're almost boring.
I'm boring.
You're boring.
I'm ready. Let's go, Carlos. I was waiting for you.
Where's the scandals? Where's the craziness? No. I'm kidding.
No scandals with Billy DaCosta.
Yeah. Well, I actually cracked up today. I was watching the county council forum, and I can't remember the one, but Gary Hooser was right after you, and he started talking, and then he just started cracking up. He said, that's a tough act to follow. But you had mentioned that you were not interested in sign-waving for yourself. Or wearing a T-shirt, and you ended by, don't be silly, vote for Billy. But I don't know. That's what set off my journey today of exploring Billy DaCosta. And you know what? I'm really glad I did. I'm very excited to meet you. I'm surprised you're someone that was outside of my kind of knowledge base. And a couple of very dear friends of mine said that I should check you out. We've been putting it out there to all the candidates. If they want to come in and have airtime, they can. And thank you for responding, and just like to get going. So this is your second run for county council.
Second run for county council. Yeah. I did it 8 years ago, and I like to think I'm a better, smarter, more heartful candidate this time around. And I tell you why. I've taken a job up in Coquay, former Dave Boynton, very interesting, educated man from Punahou, Kilauea resident, and my high school biology teacher, and a personal friend of mine. And I have his job, and I learned from the kids from Kikaru Hanalei about what is the vision that they want for Kauai. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not just saying this, but your Kilauea kids at Kilauea Elementary is some of the best kids that I've dealt with, you know. And I'm very impressed with what they want here on Kauai. So I decided that unless one of guys like myself step up to the plate and look after our keiki, I think they're going to be left out to dry. So I took a step forward, try to run for county council and see if we can make a difference together.
So you're actually the director of the Kokee Discovery Center. Is that still the case?
Yes.
Yeah, somebody had said if you're worried about trusting Billy, about 8,000 people have already trusted him with their kids overnight going up there for a week. I don't know. We did it through Hanalei School many years ago when Dave, rest in peace, Dave, you amazing guy, when Dave was still up there. But what a big pair of shoes to fill. But there you are up on top of this beautiful island. And I almost can't think of a better way to get trained for the possibility of county council than A, working with children, and B, you know, being just up at the top of this beautiful place.
It is the training. You know, I would love if the other 13 candidates, I know Mason Chuck has extreme knowledge base working with kids, but I wish everybody else would see, you know, what we're going to leave behind for them. You know, what is the vision? It's not our vision, it's their vision. They're the ones we're going to leave this place behind to. And I'm excited because Hanalei actually joined back on board this year. First time in about 6 years they're going to be coming back to the program.
Oh, they didn't go
They left the program, and when Dave passed away, it was kind of a heart filled.
Yeah.
So I think Kim McKillop is a teacher out there who's going to be coming, and gosh, I forget their Carla, I forget her name, but another teacher, fourth grade. So they're going to be coming for the first time, so I'm going to make sure I take
Carla
care
Rowan,
of
them. I think. That's her.
Yeah, there you go. Two nice, really good, educated girls.
Well, there's nothing like getting the kids out of the classroom and out into the world. So I was really delighted to hear that. And reading your bio, you're 49 this year?
49.
And class of 1983?
Class of 1983.
Waimea High School. And did you go
class
back?
Class president of Waimea
class
High
Class president.
School.
And then did you go back and actually
teach for 10 years at Waimea High School.
Amazing.
Made Teacher of the Year for 8 out of those 10 years.
Unbelievable. So I read somewhere, I wanted to verify, was your desire to run for council prompted by some of the parents up at Kokee or parents of your students? Or how did the decision come about?
One parent in specific told me, Mr. DaCosta, you got way too much mana'o not to have it shared with the adult public and to have this county go in the right direction. So with that said, I started to listen in on other parents who kind of piggybacked and said, you got to go do it, Billy. You got to go do it. If not for yourself and not for us, look at this keiki. You got to go do it for them. You owe it to them. And I just kept thinking about it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I actually signed up the last day possible. And I've run a really low-budget campaign. I haven't taken $1 from anybody. I can be proud. I've had people call up. I have a check waiting for me at somebody's house. And I'm sorry if I hurt that person's feelings, but I just could not take a single dollar because I want to be no strings attached, no puppet strings pulling me, man. I want to be able to make decisions for the community, for our kids, for our adults, without any special interest groups running Billy DeCosta.
All right. Well, sometimes I wait till the end on this, but being from that side of the island, you are going to have a unique perspective on one of the giant elephants in the room in the house that is Kauai right now, and that is what's going on out in the west side. We've got a large group of people that feel like perhaps some of the businesses out there aren't being neighborly and things are unfolding in a way that is not in the interest of our future generations of Kauai. And then you have another large group of people that live and work out there and are dependent on these companies for the job. How do you balance the need for employment and money versus, you know, potentially toxic substances? And I say potentially because, you know, the debate goes on. But you're out there. Do you feel like you're going to be held to a higher level of accountability? Do you feel like it gives you an insight into the problems out there? How do you want to approach this?
I give you my insight here.
Okay.
I am the furthest west-born Canadian, in Pakala, actually, where the roads are still dirt and gravel. And I grew up with a sense of stewardship for the land. Huh? And that's the way my great-grandpa raised us and my dad. And actually, my grandpa John was the last known sheriff to carry a handgun territorially before it became a state, and he had the only permit left on the island to do that in Pakala Town. So we were raised pretty proper, and my track record and the skeletons in my closet are fair to none, you know. So I'm actually one of those good guys. Not sure if the good guy gets elected, though, you know. But I know the business community on the west side and some of the Lihui side have rallied around a few candidates. You know, they've had the Slate 6, and I wasn't part of that. And although I think some of those gentlemen have a lot to offer on that slate, you know, and I like the other side of the spectrum, the North Shore candidates and east side has a lot to offer. Everybody has a lot to offer. But lack of leadership, lack of vision, and I can prove that in today's conversation piece, huh? I'm not going to take the easy route today. I'm not going to tell you, oh, you know, GMOs are not good or not enough data, and we need the corn companies on the west side. I want to be frank to tell you this much. We don't have enough diversified business going on the west side and on the North Shore side. We have I'm an economics major, so I'm supply and demand. Huh? The demand is you have 1.2 people living on Oahu who brings in about 93% of all their food items. And we do it here on Kauai, and we do it on a big island. We're only about 9%, 8% self-sufficient. The supply is to provide food to feed our own kind here. You know, I have no objections to growing corn. Let's grow some food corn. Let's grow some grain corn. Let's start growing corn, barley, wheat to sustain a feedlot maybe here. I mean, let's go partnerships with Robinson, GNR. They have 58,000 acres on the west side. I haven't seen them get involved in making any community projects, you know. I like to see a goat dairy on the west side. No, I would like to see a strawberry farm. I mean, there's maybe a moy farm. You know, they had a salmon farm on the Big Island when they were pumping salt water out from underneath the ground, and they were raising profitable salmon on the Big Island. Why can't we raise moy? You know, I mean, we need to give another look so we can have other diversified companies started. And everybody's going to say, oh, how do we get the funding? You know, we as a county, we have the ability to acquire those funds. We can start a co-op company. When I went to college in Humboldt County, we had a co-op store where I bought shares of stock. You know, we should have done that. We should have a bigger vision. You know, Mahaleapu, that's the dairy started. That's another issue, huh? Good or bad? First of all, it almost sounds like the super ferry because they started it, they were pushing it through, and then what happened? It got shut down by the community, huh? I think we need a dairy. Is Mahaleapu the right place? Well, I'm going to be politically correct and tell you, I don't know. I think we do know. I think we do know that we need to have that area. What's a good word for me? Have the EPA come in and do the research base, get the data, and if it is, let's move forward. If it's not, then There's other locations. You know, we own land as a state entity in Hanapepe. If you go down to Hanapepe and look across Hanapepe Lookout, you have several thousand acres over there. I believe GNR leases that from our state. I believe that's another area of land mass that we could have a dairy. So there's other areas, you know, and I just think we need to be working collectively together as a council to make all these decisions happen, you know.
It's pretty complicated. Do you think that this has become a northeast versus southwest issue, the GMO, or do you feel that there's legitimacy in the concerns and fears that some people have, or do you feel that there's been a level of hysteria reach? What is your feelings? What kind of research have you done personally on the science behind it? Not from a scientific perspective, but from a layperson that's in education that knows how to research into something. What have you done looking at that?
As an environmental state educator, one of three, we attend yearly state conferences, and some of the most current PhDs are there presenting material. Of course, they work for the state, and it's federally funded, so that tells you a little bit about it. But in a nutshell, I believe without genetically modifying tissue and organisms, we would not be this advanced in the medical field or even in the agricultural field. You know, I just watched today on CNN, they have a crispy apple that I guess over the last 17 years they've been genetically modifying. And I don't think GMO has been around long enough for us to make a solid decision whether it's the pros and the cons of it. But I do know we need more data and more research done. Huh? Proper hypothesis, which is an educated guess. Let's gather the data and let's test it. But I think when we went ahead and kind of came up with the bill that Gary introduced, and I think Gary had a great heart when he introduced that bill, but it caused it havoc. End of story. In my opinion, it caused it a lot of havoc. I think we should have gone about it a little bit different. I think if we were actually going against those large corn companies, we should have had some business meetings with them and gathered some facts before we threw up a roadblock like that and had them on the defensive side. Huh? Now they're on the defensive side, you know. And they operate in America. You know, when they operate in another country, it's easier to get rid of them. When they operate in America, they're operating under federal guidelines. And as long as they follow those guidelines and state guidelines, there's nothing really we can do, huh? So my big thing was educating the kids, educating our public of what they want. And we got to remember, those companies out there provide jobs for people. I know jobs should not be the one that constitutes the health of our people, but it's kind of hard to ask a school teacher who gets a state paycheck or a wealthy person who gets his paycheck coming in from, let's say, stocks or bonds that is, you know, and then you got the guy working the corn company whose daughter is at UNLV and trying to go to college and he or she's trying to pay that tuition. So we got to be warm and hearted when we make those decisions. And we got to bring our island together. We got to, the east, the west, the north, the south. That small kid talk already, I'm almost ashamed when I watch Channel 56 or 53 and I see them in action, you know. So I like to think I have leadership skills, I have camaraderie skills. I do believe people would want to follow Billy DeCosta when I get on that council. I kind of have that I want to hang around you attitude, so I'm hoping.
So there's always a lot of confusion as to what the county council really can do, and there's, you know, of course you can inspire as a county councilor, but there's kind of a limit to what you can do. From your perspective, if you got into the county council, what would be your steps working with these seeds and big ag companies on the west side? What steps would you actually like to see taken? How would you address this issue directly?
Well, I think a few of the council members already had got that Good Neighbor Project started. I believe Kagawa and Raposo and a few others there kind of got that started. And we need to get our state inspectors on board with us. You know, I actually work very closely with one of them at Department of Ag, and getting them to do their job, you know, getting them to do lobby for a few more positions if need be. And we got to listen to the concerns of the West Side people, the ones that are infected by the pesticide use and the feeling of not wanting the GMOs in the backyard, and also the people that draw the paycheck from that company. You know, they all have a say in it, and we got to be level-headed, and we got to come up with decisions to ensure that the community can still thrive. You know, because without employment, Carlos, the economy doesn't thrive. I heard a lot of council people talk about pushing these corn companies out, right? Getting rid of pesticides. I heard it. What's the plan, though? Do you guys have a plan? Is something else in place? Do we have an alternative company that we can we grow alfalfa and go and bag it and feed our local livestock? Can we grow some grain corn so we can have a feedlot and marbleize our own beef and we can keep our cattle here instead of sending them off? I believe Robinson has a state-of-the-art slaughterhouse that they're able to handle mass production of cattle. So we have all the entities here. You know, the Department of Education, they use beef, hamburger, in spaghetti, chili, lasagna. Where do we buy the hamburger from? Oklahoma. We import hamburger. That is sad. I did the statistical research to state that if we were to feed our local kids hamburger here on the island, we don't have enough cattle from Big Island to Kauai to feed our public school kids statewide. That's a demand. Let's create the supply, and that's economics. That's my forte. I have a bachelor's degree in economics, the study of business. And I said last night on the council, if you want to be an engineer, go build a bridge. You want to be a lawyer, go defend somebody in a lawsuit. Don't run for council. If you want to run for council, you have to have a business mind. The council is a business. Revenue come in, revenue can go out. Revenue don't come in, revenue can't go out. It's done, you know.
Okay, I like it. So we'll probably bounce back to that a few times when we start taking phone calls. But what are some of the other issues that are especially important to you on Kauai?
Your land tax. It's crazy. Jay had a cap on that. They lift the cap. They've taxed us on every other entity. When you tax the local people, it's a sloppy way to run your government. We've got raises going out on the next year, raises that we can't afford. And I disagree sometime with Mel on certain issues, but Mel said a very educated statement last night, and he said that unless we tighten our belt, we're going to be in the red. And that's what. And it's tough decisions. And the community knows that right now. So I believe if there's no revenue coming in, then revenue cannot go. We got to make some tough changes, some tough cuts. You know, and you can't do that unless you have a business mind. You know, you cannot. So I've looked at our county. I've looked at how long these elected officials has been around, and I cannot see us giving up another 10 years in this direction. We're going to sink ourselves.
Now, of our past political incumbents sitting right now and people that have held different offices over the years, are there any standouts that were very inspiring to you? Someone that you really were happy that they were representing you as a citizen of Kauai, or someone that inspired you to think differently or expand your thinking in any area?
I own 10 acres on Kauai, and my wife and I have 3 homes on a property. And I'm not bragging. I'm telling you that we're smart business people. Not too many local people whose dad grew up on the plantation can tell you that they bought 10 acres in the year 2000 and 3 homes on it. So, we're smart investors, and that's what you need in a county. You have to have smart people. And Mel and Ross is the only 2 people that probably could have saved my property because they voted against the tax increase. Huh? If I tell you what I got to pay on property taxes, my children couldn't go to Disneyland for the next 2 years. You know, so I guess that's why they're the top 2 vote getters, Mel and Ross. But I tell you, one other guy that really stands out is Mason Chalk. I like Mason. He's a great leader. You know, and he went to Kamehameha. My wife went to Kamehameha. He goes out to Waipa. He's an advocate in our community. And I've been out to Waipa a few times. Stacy Sproat and her daughter, Mahihe. And just good people, solid people. And Mason, he needs to get on. He needs to get in.
I remember seeing in several different articles you said you felt it was very important that people, anybody growing up here, but especially people that are born here, have the opportunity to be able to buy a home or own a home at some point in their life. It's part of the American dream. It's part of the dream of any human to have sovereignty of at least a small space to call your own. And the Hawaiian issue notwithstanding, but What steps could you take as a county councilor to facilitate that?
Yeah, you got to remember one thing, and I think I offended one gal once, and I called in the last time with Jimmy on the radio, but she asked me about the Hawaiian sovereignty movement, and my wife is Hawaiian. You know, she's one-third Hawaiian, and we don't qualify for Hawaiian homes. But she told me, you know, honey, will we ever own a piece of property? And I said, you know what's my dream as a Portuguese Spaniard married to a Hawaiian girl is to go get our dream, not to wait for the government to give it to us. So I went. I went and bought my own Hawaiian homes. I have 10 acres, more than you would ever get from a Hawaiian homes department. So you got to go get your dream. Go encourage your kids to be educated and go get your dream. As a council member, I can tell you this much. Unless you work with the large landowners and when they develop areas to put up public housing, some of it is going to be affordable and some of it is going to be sold to the general public. You want a mandate. You got a mandate that those affordable houses are no more than 30% of what a person earns as a monthly income. 30%. My mortgage is almost 50% right now. And it's hard to live in Hawaii on half of your paycheck, you know. Granted, I do have a lot to offer my children when they finish college, but for the norm, 30%. And have it built for that price. And you play hardball. Sometimes you got to play hardball with the developers. And that's what I have to offer. I don't need a piece of the pie. I don't need to be in bed with any developer. We own a piece of the pie. I want to be able to see everybody else get it. So, but you also need to play ball with them. I'm sorry. Some people might not like what I have to say, but you need. If Grow Farm or A&B is developing a piece of property, you need to play a little bit of ball with them and say, look, you got to give 25% or 30% of that land for affordable housing. And do not stick them into an area of a slum. Please. Intermingle them among the, I wouldn't say the wealthy, but among the middle class, you know. Make it seem like they're worth something. I don't like when they put them in these little crackerjack houses on 5,000 square feet lots. And it's shame.
Yeah.
You know.
The drug issue, I've been here almost 30 years. You were here when, you know, pre-Green Harvest, and then in the 80s, Green Harvest came down hard, and then ICE, Batu, whatever, came in to fill that slot. And here we are now, and it is a very big problem on the island of Kauai. How do you see addressing that? We've seen a lot of talks about different rehab centers or youth homes, but there's the not in my backyard mentality by a lot of people, and then there's the money, the responsibility as a county councilor. How do you address that?
First of all, again, a lot of drug treatment hoopla. Everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. You know, I believe I didn't earn the mayor's support because I didn't speak on the drug treatment center. I'd never touched on that issue, and because everybody else was touching on it, you know, so I let them have their piece of the pie. But it's a no-brainer. We need it. I say KVMH is struggling right now as a state entity. Everybody want to revitalize KVMH, you know. I know a lot of people need the jobs out there, but how are we going to revitalize it? With federal dollars? Your federal government is broke. So I say portion of that hospital, if we need a temporary drug location, it might serve as a purpose. What do we do with them when they're done with their 60-day or 90-day cleanup? Get them out to cocaine like how they did out in the old CC day camp. Have them work the trails. Have them get together with DNR out in nature. Have them give back to their community. Go clean the trails. Have a purpose in life. They're not animals where we need to stick them in some facility. We need to help them, get them rehabilitated. They got good hearts. It's the drug that got them hooked. And once they're clean, you get them in an area where they can't get it, up in the mountain. And if they give havoc and they're causing disruption, then they lose their ability for the work privilege. But I like to think out of the box. I always do. When our Brian Baptiste wanted county picnic tables, and my buddy was a carpenter in the shop, and I told him, hey, let me build the tables. How are you going to build it, Mr. DeCosta? I said, bring me the lumber. I'll build it at the high school. And we did. I got my principal's permission, Bill Arakaki, and we built 12 picnic tables, and we donated one to each park, Hanalei, Kilauea, Anahola, Lihue, all the way down to Westside, built by high school kids. It can be done. If we need our drug treatment at a facility, I'm not trying to push everything on the west side, but if there's a state entity, if portion of it is at Mahilona, then we need to make it work. But get them out in a work photo program. I drive past Wailua Jail every day and see them playing volleyball and having 3 square meals. How come we can't get some of our less, what's the word I'm looking for, less harmful
peaceful,
criminals?
Peaceful offenders.
Peaceful offenders, yeah. And get them out working. Work to minimize your sentence. Get out there. Work a year. We shorten your sentence by 25%. You know, and they get work furlough. I mean, so many projects we could be doing. Your bathrooms on the North Shore and the East Side, public bathrooms at parks, is in a menace.
Historically bad, yeah.
Bad. And I know our county workers are trying their best, but with the lack of leadership, it's going to be always like that. So either we get it cleaned up at the county level, or let's get some people out there. You know, let's get some kids from high school, or let's get some jail less criminally inclined people, and let's go take care of our backyard and take care of our problems.
Well, speaking of jail, one of the interesting things that gets a lot of people there is drug use, and sometimes it's a drug that is up right now in a lot of states. I believe 3 states have legalized marijuana. A lot of other states have actually legalized medical marijuana, even though the federal level still does not recognize states' rights to do that. It's a kind of detente right now. What are your feelings as a Kauai County Councilor, say you are sitting as a councilor, on medical marijuana, dispensaries, the use of it for medicine,
yeah,
as a teacher and someone who's seen it from the high school perspective and how it affects lives, and also as a scientifically minded person who probably follows medical marijuana and its use in seizures and cancer, etc. Where do you chart your path?
My wife is a registered nurse, so we've talked about that, and sometimes it's the only peaceful drug they have, especially with cancer patients, so, and the appetite increases and whatnot. But anyway, I took a strong stand when I answered this. No legalization of marijuana. It's a gateway drug. I've seen it take down a lot of kids through high school. I'm sorry, a few of our candidates were asked that question, and they sit on the fence. Oh, well, we could gain some tax dollars, or I'll have to do more research, or let's check with the states that have made it legal and see what's working, what's not working. Man, I'm pretty sick of politicians always trying to ride the fence. Just take a stand. Let the people know who you're voting for. And I don't want legalized marijuana. I tell you why. I went to college in Humboldt County. Pot Central of the United States. Pot Central.
Yeah.
So that tells you a lot. I know what happened. I went to school there for 7 years. I've seen it. Right now, it's legalized in California. Right now, you got the Russian mafia, you got the Mexican cartel. They're all there growing marijuana. They can grow a crop a year. Can you imagine how many crops they can grow here in Hawaii? You don't have harsh winters. You don't have 4 seasons. We're going to have marijuana growing on agricultural crops. And yeah, we might get a tax dollar or two on it. But what it's going to tell our children, it's okay for mom and dad to smoke so you can go smoke.
Now, let's clarify for the listeners. Are you talking about recreational marijuana?
Yeah.
Okay, now let's focus on medicinal marijuana.
Medicinal marijuana. I believe if it's regulated by the federal government, the state entities, sold at a pharmacy area where you need a prescription, I think we have a place for that. I would like to see a lot of regulation on it, you know, but I think we may have a place for that medically. Medically.
Okay.
It.
So it sounds like you're open-minded. You like some really solid structure.
Yeah.
Okay. Now there's a third aspect of the medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, and industrial hemp, which has been shown to have the potential to mitigate the effects of pollution, radioactive fallout. Some scientists in Japan have talked about that. You can get a couple crops a year. Is it too close in what it looks like to medicinal or recreational marijuana that it would be too dangerous to try to grow that? Do you see it as a potential for Kauai's future? Some candidates have said they're interested. Others have said no. And I do appreciate you taking a stance one way or the other, because it really helps the listeners understand.
I really would have to dive deep into this one and look at it. You know, I do. It worries me a little bit. You know, I have the most experience out of all the candidates working with kids. I'm in the trenches. I've taught the fully self-contained kids who are the ones that are on the next step out to being kicked out of high school. And, you know, a lot of my kids were removed by how much Mr. DeCosta cares about them. So, I'm a little bit worried about the hemp production. Although I've had some in-depth conversations, you know, with some of our candidates on it. So that's kind of my stand there, Carlos.
All right. So, recreational marijuana, strong no. Medicinal marijuana, you need to do more research. You'd like to see structure and make sure it's going through the proper channels.
But there is a place.
Industrial hemp, jury's out.
Not enough information for Mr. DeCosta to even make a comment. How's that? Okay. I don't want to fool my public.
I'd like to make a comment right now.
Okay, we've got a phone call right now. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
You said a moment ago that the Russian mafia owns the marijuana drug uses it, right?
Excuse me?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. We had a little confusion in the studio. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You said the Russian mafia is all running the drug dealing.
I sit in the state of California. I have a professor friend who lives in Arcata. They're there right now running their operations.
Okay. So if the Russian mafia is doing that, that is because it's criminalized. If you legalize it, the Russian mafia has nothing to do with it. It would be legal. You can walk down and get a prescription from a doctor. Legalize it. There's no reason for it to be illegal. The only reason the Russian mafia is making it illegal, that's why they're dealing their shit, because they are doing undercover stuff.
Thank you so much, caller. Okay, so the point is, if it was legalized, regulated, there would be a movement away from a criminal element because they wouldn't be able to exploit that disparity.
Remember now, it's legalized in our country here, and it's going to be taken to another country that might be illegal. So I have to still take a stand on that. Sorry if I offended you, listener and caller, but Mr. DeCosta does not like the legalization of marijuana.
Why don't you ask him?
Anyway.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, so Carlos.
Okay, we're going to just start fielding calls. And,
yeah, let's do it.
Let me tell you something. There's been so I've been doing the show 17 years, and I can count on one hand the politicians or the candidates that come in and just go yes or no. So a lot of respect to any politician or potential candidate that will just come out and tell you right how they feel, because you're going to lose some people, you're going to gain some people, but I think there's a third group that respects somebody that just is willing to say, hey, here's what I feel and why. We've got more calls, 826-7771, 15 minutes to the top of the hour. You're listening to Billy DeCosta, candidate for Kauai County Council's 2014 elections. Go ahead, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to just ask a question of, as far as gateway drugs, is not alcohol the gateway drug? And yet that's legal, and nobody's even saying anything about that. How many people get killed every week, every month behind alcohol?
Yeah, I'm hearing you. I'm listening. Kind of got cut off there for a second.
Caller, if you could call back. We've called back. We just lost that signal, but we've got another call. If you call back, I'll get you right back on the air. Go ahead, caller.
Okay. All right.
You're on the air. Hello?
Hello? We lost that one too, Carlos.
Let's try.
KKCR. Marijuana is a hot topic.
Yeah. Hello, KKCR. You're on the air. KKCR, you're on the air.
I think it's you guys, myself.
Actually, it's not you guys. It's actually me. I we've got a new phone here, and I apologize. Go ahead. What's your question?
Oh, no, that's a statement. I mean, I truly, in my heart, believe that alcohol is the gateway drug, and yet nobody's doing anything. You know what I mean? It's all great and good and just so sanctioned by everybody, and the hypocrisy of, oh, no, not for this. I'm not against or for pot legalization, but I mean, this reflexive, watching the gubernatorial debates, too, reflexively, no. I mean, good Lord, if that's the case, then throw the baby out with the bathwater and get rid of alcohol. I would be 100% on board with that. So, anything?
My comment again, remember I told you I went to college in Humboldt County, so I've rubbed shoulders with some of the best pot smokers out there, you know, and I'm not telling you that smoking pot is bad. I mean, I'm just trying to tell you that I think legalizing pot right now in our state is not the way Mr. DeCosta would like to present his political platform. That's all.
All right. Go ahead. You're on the air, caller.
Oh, it's me again.
Oh, hey, okay. Go ahead.
And I met my wife in Humboldt as well. You know, I mean, that's irrelevant. You know, you look at revenues. I mean, look at the money we're making off of just allowing the worst thing ever of people getting blind drunk and running into people, and nobody's even campaigning on that at all. It's like under the rug. Let's call it out. If we're calling stuff out, let's call it all out. Let's beat teetotalers. You know what I mean? Let's do it. You know, because pot is Sanka compared to alcohol. And yet right now people are at, quote, happy hour, getting dumb and fixing on driving. And, you know, there should be a campaign on that. I mean, really.
All right.
Sounds like you got a good platform if you ever want to run for council, buddy.
Yeah, no.
All right. You have a nice day.
Thanks, caller. Go ahead. You're on the air. Hello. You're on the air. Okay, we're gonna. We had someone bring in an outside phone here, so I'm gonna. What I'm gonna do is probably play a little music and see if we can. Let's try this. Go ahead, you're on the air. No. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey.
There we go. I'm sorry. We're having a delay on the phone. I apologize. What's up? What's your question?
Hey, Carlos. Great show as always. Hey, Billy. I know a little bit about you. I kind of live in the same ballpark area that you do, and I know you do a lot of good work for the community and have for a long time, and I appreciate you coming on, and I appreciate your candid responses, but I do have a question. You know, I don't necessarily agree with you on the GMO, or I'm sorry, pesticide issue on this island. I think, you know, when people talk about jobs, you know, versus health, you know, I really don't understand that because, you know, the biggest money maker for this island has been and always will be tourism. And, you know, tourists are slowly starting to wake up to what's going on the west side. And it's not just the west side. I live on the south side and, you know, it's creeping over here too. It's creeping up north, to Kapa'a. And these companies aren't going away. And this issue is not going away. I mean, we can pretend, you know, that we need to do more research, but the point is that this community is becoming informed. And once you start to educate a people, you can't go backwards. So my question to you is, as a community leader, how do we start testing our waters? What do we do about the dying reefs? What are we going to do about the fact that the EPA doesn't really test our wells out here? This is a local issue that's not being addressed. And what do you think about that?
No, I respect you, and I don't want you to get misjudged that I think using pesticides and GMO is all cool. I just have to be level-headed and see the big picture. And the big picture right now, I told you, was there is a lot of people who need those jobs. And I'm not sure where you get your paycheck from, but like I said, it's be ignorant of myself to make that statement, because I get a guaranteed paycheck, whether the economy is at an all-time high or at an all-time low. As a school teacher, we get a guaranteed paycheck. And I don't want to see our island in bed with tourism. I don't want to see our island being,
you're the next caller,
let's say, having to only be supplying on tourism. It's not a good way. A hurricane might hit, might have a rural disaster, could have a Great Depression again, and we need to be sustainable in other ag diversified farming companies so we can provide food for our island, for our state, you know. And again, I go back to the 1.2 million people on Oahu. So I think the corn companies are here because that's the only company that can afford to lease the land or are able to lease land. We got to get other companies and encourage other agro businesses to start.
Now, I want to jump in on that, too. The caller's going, but it's my understanding that there's an extremely reduced rate of land leasing that they pay. So I don't know that that is necessarily a mitigating factor in the affordability, because I heard at some places it was under $100 an acre. I might be completely speaking out of the wrong side of my mouth, but do you know how does the leasing work?
Yeah, they pay a little bit more than that, I would have to say.
Yeah.
And I don't think the average, and you got to remember, these large landowners, they got to pay stock dividends to shareholders. I mean, they got to earn money for the company. If they're not earning revenue on leasing a land, they're going to have to build a hotel. They're going to have to build public housing. They got to do something with the land. So, you know, the lesser of two evils. And again, you know, back to the issue of, do we sacrifice our health versus chemicals and GMO? So it's a very tough decision and tough topic.
Do you feel, I had someone text a question for another candidate, so this is not a question that was texted for you, so I want to own that. But they said, what about the possibility of having a certain amount of set-asides? So the way we do affordable housing with developers, if we have seed companies here, could you ever see a type of agreement where they have to put a certain amount of land into local food, organic, sustainable, healthy, whatever, 10, 20, 30%? But because what I do hear, and I don't like to jump in myself with my own opinions, but what I hear a lot is they're producing food. But the reality is there's no real edible food coming from these people. So one of the solutions I see, short of, you know, having them leave and creating this giant vacuum, is putting some sort of agreement down that they have to provide a certain amount of food that stays in the local economy. Could you see that as being something feasible?
You should run for politics there, Carlos. That's great. That's a great vision. And have them mandate that they grow a certain percentage of that for food crop.
Well, we do that with the developers.
Correct.
We
public housing, affordable housing. Right.
Yeah, so. Okay. I want to apologize. There's been two callers, and I'm just having a little bit of a hard time with our phone. It's my fault. It's not KKCR's. Let's see if we can get it here. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Who are you talking with?
Once again, I'm talking with Billy DeCosta. It's in his second run for county council. He ran in 2006 the first time, former teacher at Waimea High and also director of the KA Discovery Center, as well as quite a few other things we've spoken about. So, Billy DeCosta, phone call person, what's on your mind?
Great. Well, thank you for the show. And I just listening to y'all talk about the GMO topic, which I feel is a grandiose, gigantic, huge, important topic at this time on this island. And I'm so grateful that you're bringing up the point that what's grown out there is not food for this island. It's seed that goes out to other places around the world. And bringing up the idea, well, what if they were required to grow food for the island? It would never be my prayer to have one of those agrochemical people companies growing food for our island. And I just say that with all respect to everyone, and I understand about jobs, and I for sure want everyone to have great jobs they feel really good about. And so that's why I love the vision of cultivating and shifting those lands into being remediated. Like, there's a great job right there. First, before we can even start to grow healthy food on those lands, we need to remediate the soil and the water, and that could take years. So
can I ask you a question? It's not a trick question, and I'm not trying to trap you. Do you get a paycheck from somewhere working on the island? And you don't have to explain where, but do you draw a paycheck from anywhere?
I do. I have my own little business, and I do work on this island, and I receive money through that business.
Okay, so let me ask you this. As a citizen of Kauai, would you be willing to shoulder an extra $500 or $1,000 a year if they floated a bond to buy out these properties or to create monies for sustainability? Would you be willing, and do you think your friends would be willing to actually shoulder that burden? Because I hear that, and I like the way that sounds, but it's like the magical money is going to come from somewhere. Where does it come
right
from, and would you be willing to pay for it?
Well, I think I'd like to rewind a bit, and when you say would I like to help support, buy these lands from these people who are criminals, I see them as criminals. And even, I know I listen every week to the Songs of Sovereignty show with Kailani, and they, speak about that these lands that are being bought and sold, they're criminals, these people buying these lands that are actually Hawaiian lands. So just kind of want to more start there. I'm not a believer in buying land, so I understand that we're talking about a paradigm I don't believe in. I believe,
okay, fair enough,
the ancient people, right? We need to just live on the land and Malama, the Aina, and take care of it, and the Aina will take care of us. I believe in that. So, but I hear what you're saying. Like, I would never be willing to, whatever I could do to help support, even if it were financially at this time, to shift the paradigm over there, for sure, yes. I would love to see that happen.
However it happened, and I think they actually don't own the lands. I think they lease them,
They lease it from large landowners. You got, yeah, Robinson out there. They got some grow farm, A&B. But I like your statement, and I like everybody who calls in and gives a statement, whether it's pro or con against the GMO pesticide use. But very few of our callers have any vision of how to fix the problem. And the problem is having funding.
The vision is remediate the soil.
Where do you get the funding to remediate the soil? Tell me.
Well, this is what I think. I think these companies have been here around 13 years and something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but about that, let's say. So I'd like to see them be held responsible, because the way I understand it is they've been spraying chemicals. They're not allowed really to spray as much as they are. Like, the way I understand it, here in Kauai, they spray like 6 times more chemicals than anywhere else on the planet. They're doing this experimenting, right? Because there's so many seasons. So first, they're like breaking some economic law there, because they're just pushing the limits with their chemicals, right? There's been no studies done to show what it's going to do to the land. So that's the first thing I need to see and know, that they're held responsible for their actions. So I feel like these multi-billion-dollar companies, they need to be the ones that fund the remediation. They need to fund, if it's going to be, I've heard of idea of doing mushrooms. You can grow mushrooms out there, which will remediate the soil and maybe make fish ponds, you know, that are above the land. So it's not actually in the contaminated chemical land, but they're like risen up ponds. There's lots of different ideas. Yeah, it's about funding them.
Well, Carl, can I...
The company should be held responsible to fund them.
Okay, and I hear that. And first of all, I want to make it really clear, because I ask questions on both sides. So I'm not here to be an apologist for them, and I'm not here to be against them. I'm just here to kind of pull things out. So if this happened, it wouldn't happen because they just suddenly had this beautiful change of heart and their heart melted and they'd be, you know, everything was rainbows. There would probably be a court case and they would be held accountable. Would you be willing for Kauai to take on, and I'm not, this is not a trick question either, but would you be willing for Kauai to take on a legal case that we might not win, in which case, once again, there would be either a loss of services on the island or, you know, how are you willing for the risk of going against the status quo personally? Would you be willing to shoulder that financial burden? I keep coming back to that just because I'm curious what people think about it. There's no outside money. It's all our money. We're all here. And so, you know, how do we get to that point where they're planting those mushrooms? Maybe magic mushrooms.
Right. Well, if there's no outside money, like you're saying, but back to the court thing, yes. I even think that's like a thing these companies go, oh, well, we're going to sue you guys. It's like, you're going to sue us. We need to be suing you. What are you guys talking about? Like, no, let's get this straight. But I know, and then again, I don't really do that paradigm, like the whole suing thing and wasting money and time in court when we could be on the field shifting it with our money and energy there, right? But then the court gets you tied up with your money and time in the court. So that's another hoax to me. So we'll go there for the moment and just say, yeah, let's sue these companies. Let's tell them, we're not putting up with this anymore. We're suing you. You guys are going to remediate the soil for 13 years, and when the soil, and you're going to pay the workers. They're going to fund it. They're going to pay the workers. They're going to, you know, I know it's dream vision, but basically I'm just trying to get the point across how strongly it's time to shift this on this island. Like, enough.
Can I add to that a little bit?
Yeah, please.
Can I add to that? You guys got to all remember what country we live in. You know, we live in the United States, the federal government, and big business runs our government. You know what is my vision of the monies where it should be spent? Let's start a co-op. Let's start a co-op business on the west or north side, and let's, instead of spending money to sue them, let's spend money and buy stock in our own company. And let's start a goat dairy. Let's start a strawberry farm. Let's start a grain for food. Let's start those kind of co-op companies where we own it. It's like profit sharing. It can be done.
And caller, I want to say thank you, too. I'm not trying to trick you or trap you or anything. I'm just trying to draw you out to, you know, how deep do we go down the rabbit hole of responsibility and accountability on both sides. So great call. Great questions. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks for the show. Aloha.
Aloha. Okay, caller, finally you're on the air. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
How are you?
Good.
Fantastic. Am I live with Billy?
You are live. What would you like to ask him or say?
Great. I'm just, I have a question for you, Bill. I grew up on the west side as well, and of the west side, and I'm just a little curious on what your take is on us just trying to focus a little bit less on money and less on GMO, less on marijuana, less on the budget, and us all focusing on taking care of our kids, putting our kids into special programs on the island where we can take advantage of our natural resources, things like the water, developing a surf program for all of the kids, creating different teams on in different towns and having all of our kids come together and compete, and just really being more positive about everything and stop being so negative. Listening to this radio station today so far, been really disheartening. I grew up and swam in the ditches in Kikaha, and listening to everybody go off about all of these pesticides and all that and not really talk about taking care of our children first is very, very disturbing for me.
Well, caller, just listening to you, caller, I can tell you that you are a true local boy. I feel it in your heart. I swam in those same ditches, and if you do the research on Billy DeCosta, you know that my heart is all about the children. You know what I wanted to really see happen is to come up with a sustainable ag park where these kids could actually spend a couple of days and camp on and go and feed different animals and grow crops and teach them how to be sustainable. We all talk a good story about sustainability, but we provide no place for our children to go and learn what is sustainability, huh? I believe my program up in Coque is the only program on the island that sleeps kids overnight. But I agree with you, caller, that we need to bond our kids together. Have them doing more team-oriented, you know, get-togethers and healing the island. So I really appreciate your call. And, gosh, your voice sounds so familiar. I almost think I want to shout your name out there, but I might make a mistake.
I just think that being a little bit more positive, and I built my businesses on this island, focusing on the community and giving everything that I make back to the community and to the kids, and it's a good thing. It's rewarding, and money doesn't mean a whole lot. It's all about, you know, the Ohana and family, for sure.
Well, great call. Great redirect, caller. Thank you.
Thank you.
Real quick, I want to say you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. We have Billy DaCosta, who is running his second run for County Council of the Island of Kauai 2014 elections coming up very soon. We've got a couple callers on hold. We're going to get to you, but I've got to do a little bit of station business, and we will be back. It is 5:03, and there are two callers on hold right now, and I'm going to get to both of you in about a minute and a half.
Kauai Canvas, professional gallery quality giclée canvas printing and digital image capture now available on Kauai. Managing print flow, stretching, and even crating. More information at 212-6971 or online at kauaicanvas.com. Kauai Canvas, stretch your imagination.
Al Pastor Tacos supports KKCR across the street from the craft fair in Kapa'a by the beach. Al Pastor Tacos serves fresh grilled local fish, steak, chicken, and pork tacos and burritos in the Al Pastor style. Also a garden salad and choices for the kids. Open every day from 11 to 4. Takeout orders welcome. Al Pastor Tacos, authentic Mexican food. 652-6953.
Guinier and Company supports Kauai Community Radio and is currently seeking immediate hires for stewards and public area cleaner positions for their Princeville location. Part-time, full-time, and graveyard shifts available. Also recruiting for graveyard kitchen cleaners and public area cleaners in the Poipu area to start November 15th. Further details and job application at 808-847-4202. Mahalo.
Buffalo Records proudly presents New Orleans R&B singer, songwriter, and master pianist John Cleary. On Sunday, November 9th at Trees Lounge in Kapa'a, it's the original John Cleary Trio. And Monday, November 10th at Church of the Pacific in Princeville features a solo performance by John Cleary. Both shows start at 7 p.m. November 9th and 10th. For more information and tickets at Trees Lounge, Small Town Coffee, Kauai Music and Sound, Hanalei Strings and Things, and online at buffalo-records.com.
And once again, we're with Billy DaCosta running for county council. A lot of focus on the GMO issue. We've talked about medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, industrial hemp. There's more issues out there. If you'd like to call in, 826-7771. We'll keep the calls coming for a little while, and let's take this next caller. Go ahead, caller. What's on your mind?
Hey. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are. I hope you want to be.
Great. I have been listening for a little bit. I saw on Mr. DaCosta's Facebook that he was going to be on public radio, so I figured I'd call in. I was a graduate of Waimea High School in 2010. This isn't really a question, but a comment. I have not seen anyone more well-liked than Mr. DaCosta. This man has a passion for not only the kids, but for the community. And I hear all these callers calling in, you know, oh, you need to say more about the legalization of drugs or GMOs. And, yeah, those are big issues, but I think what everyone, if you're listening to, should get a background about what Mr. DaCosta is about. He's really about the community. I've never seen people more passionate about someone in the community. I've never seen someone more well-liked than Mr. DaCosta. And I just hope that everyone listening out there really gets a sense that Mr. DaCosta is for the people. And when you have a council that's been embattled for so long, I feel that you need a man that is willing to look at every perspective. That's what he's been emphasizing for the past hour. You know, being able to look at equal perspectives on GMOs and land taxing and all these things. And I think that callers should realize that Mr. DaCosta is for the people, and that's why we need him on this council.
All right. Well,
I would like to say thank you, this caller. And if I could show you in person, I bow to you, my brother. I'm not sure who you are, but you inspire me. And it's nothing to do with me. It's to do with people like you. Because when there's good people out there like yourself, it rises me to be a better educator. So for whatever it's worth, as a teacher, if you came through my program or I've touched your heart in any which way at Waimea High School, you've made me a better person. Because having people like you in our community that we can mold into good community leaders makes me happy. So thank you. Thank you very much.
No problem at all.
Yeah, thanks, caller.
Just across, I want to wish you the best of luck, and I hope that you deserve it. And I'll definitely be my vote for you in November.
Thank you.
All right, we got more calls. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Oh, awesome. I've been trying to get through for a while. I just wanted to say that, you know, this is a really refreshing and real conversation that Billy's having. You know, the reality is that, you know, the landowners that own these big pieces of land from Lihue to the west side, that all this GMO farming is happening on, you know, they got bills to pay, and the land has to be used. And unfortunately, the reality is that they're the ones that came in and filled the void when sugar went out, you know, and nobody else stepped up to the plate and had the kind of financial resources it takes to really do agriculture on that scale. And at the same time, you know, when it comes to, you know, you guys mentioned a couple of times the job versus the health thing. And, you know, there's about 70,000 people that live on Kauai, and there's only 600 people employed in that business over there, you know, and that's just a no-brainer. It is not worth the health of the community and the damage to the land for 600 people to have relatively low-paying jobs, you know, where they're being exposed and where the community, you know, those fields go right up to schools, churches, hospitals. And you know, the workers are protected, and the workers are protected and have to wear protective equipment by law. But the people that are 20 feet away from those fields that are inhaling the fumes and are getting dusted out by contaminated soil, they don't have any protection like that. And I don't care how many jobs or what, that's just not worth it.
You know, can I jump in? You are probably one of the three callers that I really enjoyed hearing. You take that 600 people working, and you give them, with benefits included, let's say they make about 50 grand. You know, it's about 30 grand with the benefit package on top of that, sick leave, vacation, medical, dental, 50 grand multiplied times 600. That's about, $30 million. Let's get one of these wealthy people here on the island, like Mark Zuckerman is buying a piece of property here. Let's get some donations. Let's do something. And let's get that money in the hands of those people, and we make an easy fix. I mean, because I agree with you. It's not worth the health.
The thing is that, you know, I've worked in agriculture. I've been here for 21 years, going on 22 years. I moved here when I was 19. I'm over 41 now. And I've worked in the agricultural industry. And the model that was here didn't work. You know, it's like they just planted sugar everywhere, and then all of a sudden the market for sugar, it never matured. They were, you know, like, I went to this presentation by Alan Kennett right before Jane Robinson closed down, and, you know, they were getting the same price for a bulk ton of sugar as they were in 1968. And they didn't have the foresight to diversify and to create something new. And the reality is that, especially on the west side, is that the truth of the matter is that these companies are actually stifling real economic growth on the west side and on Kauai. Like, as somebody that's been in agriculture and is into all different kinds of crops, like, that's fruit tree heaven on the west side because it's dry, which is what you want. And there's an incredible irrigation system on all of the plantation lands that will never, ever be able to be rebuilt if it's lost. People with those companies will never be able to get the permits and go through the environmental impact statements that they didn't have to do 100 years ago when the tunnels and ditches were constructed. And that's a reality. And that's going to be a real shame if those resources are lost, because, I mean, the whole vibe of the west side and the whole economic structure of the whole island could change. And, you know, it's not cool that we're so dependent on tourism. And what I want to put forth is that tourism, the money that we make on tourism should be the icing on the cake. If we were more self-sufficient and we were making our own food, like, all the money that comes here from off-island goes right back out to the mainland for our groceries, for our fuel, for our building material. And what we need to do is get more self-sufficient and somehow get get some different ag projects going so that the money that comes in from tourism stays here and circulates and stays in our pockets, the people that live here.
Hey, caller, that's a good point. I've got three callers stacked up behind you, so I'm going to let Billy respond, and you make some very good points, and we'll see what he has to say.
I think he said it in a nutshell. He made a statement, not a question. Good job, caller. Good okay. job. Yep.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air, and thanks for holding.
Carlos?
Well, hello. Who's this?
Haley.
Hi. Do you have a question or you want to talk to Mr. DaCosta?
I kind of wanted to change subjects a little bit.
Okay.
So, have you guys read Tulsi Gabbard's most recent letter to Admiral Harris?
Regarding the Navy and the Reef?
Yes, that one.
I actually had someone bring it to my attention. I have not got to see the letter myself yet.
Oh, well, when I went to D.C. this summer for a Young Leaders Conference, and when I was there, I got to meet with her, and I actually brought up that subject to her. And when I read it, I was a little baffled because I was one of the people that actually brought it up. And I was just wondering what Mr. DaCosta's viewpoint was on the ocean and the reef.
I guess so. We're moving from the big ag on the island to the relationship Kauai has with PMRF and the Navy and exercises such as RIMPAC. I believe it's 4 years. It might be every 2 years. But, are you familiar with the situation going on with Representative or Senator Gabbard's letter?
I read a little bit about that and did a little bit of research. And again, politicians do this right around the election season to get a big promo deal. The reality of it is that PMRF base will reside there as long as the government believes it should reside there. I don't want to be dependent on the PMRF base. I've always had a stand on being more diversified on the west side. Because that base can come and go with the technology you have today and missile defense systems across the nation. We can be launching protective defense systems from San Diego instead of Hawaii. So if they decide to pull out, it might be a benefit or a loss to the community. Not sure what way it'll go. But as far as the impact with Pacific Rim, I like to see more data collected, and I like to see more preservation of our aquatic life and the reefs. And I think the military, if there is things going wrong out there, should be responsible for it, you know. I've also seen today a lot of the fishnets on CNN were being harvested, and turtles and whatnot were being trapped. It was on this morning's news, tons and tons and tons of debris from longliner fishermen and net fishermen. So there's a lot of entities that damage our oceans, and the responsibility is the ones who are doing it, so. I really admire you for being at Washington, D.C. Sounds like you're going to be a great communal leader one day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Also, I would like to know what your thoughts are about water systems and farming and what you're going to do to help prevent our island from eroding some more.
Oh, island from eroding. I believe we had a big erosion wave back behind Waialeale, but I don't believe it was to do with any type of water system. I think there was a havoc that went on the side embankment, and it brought down a whole ton of debris that went out to Wailoa River. Am I correct? Is that what you're talking about?
Hello? Oh, sounds like we lost her. There was the natural up the Wailoa River way up at the top, but
right.
I don't. Caller, you could call back if you would like, 826-7771, but we do have more callers in the queue. Go ahead, caller. You're speaking with Billy DaCosta, Kauai Soapbox, County Council candidate for the next election. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on the show, and you sure sound like a positive person, and I've gone to several of the forums and enjoyed listening to what you had to say, especially on and being involved with the children, because I think that really a lot of us feel that our future of our island is for our children. This is why we are fighting and standing up for the rights of the land against chemical agriculture companies for our kids to have a safe environment to live in. And I must say, I feel that the callers that have called in have been very positive And so when I hear a couple guys say that they've been, you know, negative of that and all they talk about is agriculture, I have to disagree because everybody's been so nice, even though they might be, you know, for ending the GMO life as it is here on the island. I think that there's other things that can be growing. I do disagree with you or wish that you would look into hemp, industrial hemp, which is nothing like Pocololo, and I know that that does, Pocololo certainly is something that you're not interested in supporting. But there, you know, hemp is a remediator of the soil, and also, you know, hemp cloth, hemp seeds, all sorts of things that you can grow with hemp. Hemp bricks and build houses that are...
Can I respond? Can I respond?
Yes.
I'm very enlightened that you have brought this to my attention, and you seem like the kind of person I would like to hear more from. I mean, Mr. DeCosta is not a man with all the answers, but I'm a man that loves to listen and learn, and we can collaborate and bring things together. So you seem like the person who has some educational background on this, and yes, great. Educate me the same way I do my keiki, you know, and
sure. I'd love to talk with you more about it. I'll go ahead. I just wanted to make that point. I'll go ahead and let you go and answer other questions. But thank you again for being on the show.
Before you leave, I want to tell you something. Before you leave, the only way we can make a paradigm shift in this whole movement towards diversified ag is to educate our keiki. So these keiki growing up, not one or two of them, but every one of them that come through a public school, private school, and charter school system, want to see the island in the same aspect. When all of our children reach the adult age and go away to college and come back, then I'll think we'll see a very big momentum shift. But until that happens, you only have a few key players playing in bed with the, you know, with everybody else. So how's that?
What's going on?
Oh.
Okay, I gotta go. Sorry, thank you.
Thank you, caller. 826-7771. We've had a few people texting that our phones are not coming out for the callers, and I'm at max volume, so we're doing the best we can. We did have someone text a question about Coquea. Are you familiar with the issue up at Coquea? Well, that's a silly question because you work up there.
Many issues up in Coquea. What are you talking about? Public fencing to keep wild pigs out?
I did read about that a long time. Master plan. The gate, the hours,
state park, pay for
what
the
would
gate.
You like to see up there?
Keep it as is.
Keep it as is.
No gates.
Okay.
We're one of the few parks that is a state park. We need to manage it with the people we have. We don't need no federal dollars. Federal parks get federal monies. Federal government is broke. I don't want to see us to be any more tied to our government than we need to be. Let's just dig a little deeper, take care of our own park, and manage it the way it should be.
All right. 826-7771. Go ahead, caller.
Hello. Am I on the line?
Yes, you are.
Oh, hi there, Mr. Costa or Billy.
Hi.
I have two issues. I would like to see what you feel about it. I have a real problem, number one, with... we talk about state parks. I would like to see addressed the Wailua State Park up in the Homestead and how our beautiful Children's County Park was turned over half of it to a dog park, which I would like to know who was maintaining the dog park. It was under my impression that the people that wanted the park in the neighborhood that voted for this dog park would upkeep the dog park. After walking around, that was like a big place that I used to use as my refuge from everywhere. And some of the answers I got when it was being put up, because nothing was ever announced for neighborhood meetings. Some of the people that are there said, well, nobody ever uses this park, excuse me. But we had an elderly group of exercising people that would walk up and down that hill. 10 elderly of our community here, I would meet with them being in the medical profession. They liked me being with them. And we would use that as their exercise, cardio exercise, up and down that hill. It is now a dog park, which is just, I cannot believe how disgusting it was.
So, caller, in the interest, because we got a bunch of callers behind you, like if you could make a 2 or 3 sentence declarative statement or a specific question, and then we'll see what Billy can do.
We can address the fact that it's the park up there, we have one, there's one toilet, there's one sink, but yet we've put all this money into taking care of the animals. When our children need swings, they need a nicer place to play on up here, and all other parks. Okay, that's my comment, is why was $30,000 of our park put away to that? And I don't even know if you're aware of that, Billy.
I wasn't aware of that, and I thank you for educating me.
I think you'd be interested to take a drive up there and see.
I will. I believe Keiki should be before our animals, although I do love dogs, and I have a fence yard, and I let my dogs run around. And if I can't let them run around, I don't think we should raise dogs.
Right.
Parks are for people. I mean, if we need a dog park or some kind of park, let's go get some other piece of land someplace else and see, make it happen.
Correct.
But not take away from the children.
Well, it's kind of late, but you're more than welcome to call me. I'll meet you up there to show you what is really upsetting to a lot of us up here.
Billy, this is a good point. Do you have a site if people want to contact you about your campaign or your vision?
I have my Facebook. Yeah, I have a home number, 742-7044.
742-7044. 7044. Okay, great.
And if I could ask you to just hop back in the call queue, and I can get the next caller, and then you could call back and ask your second question.
Okay.
Thank you. It was nice meeting.
Unless it's a quickie. Is it a quickie?
It's a quickie.
Okay.
I just would like to address the fact that all of our homeless are not drug addicts and alcoholics.
Amen.
We have a lot of Vietnam vets that are out there that need help too.
You know what? I have a plan. I have a vision about a lease to live. Lease to live. Let's get a large piece of land.
I'm tired of hearing that in the forums that everyone, not you.
I've never said anything negative about homeless people.
Yeah. Everyone that's homeless is either an alcoholic or a drug addict.
Right.
All right.
Let them be able to farm some land and lease a little portion, an acre, have a prefab home made by high school kids, and provide them in an area where they can actually live and farm and get away from the tent behind Walmart. How's that?
And deal with their post-traumatic stress in a humane way.
Humane way.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Yeah. I got a question for Billy D. As far as public records, it shows that a guilty charge in 1990 for criminal trespassing. I don't know if you could just clarify for us for that.
1990?
Yeah.
Criminal trespassing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That I got charged for criminal trespassing. Is it public record? I don't believe. I can tell you straight up, there was one charge. It was, I took a DAG plea. I believe it was back in 1990. There was a cow that my dogs and my brother's dogs kind of roughed up out in the mountain, and it ended up dying, and it was on state property, but it was some wild cattle that got loose from Robinson's property. But that's about the only thing I ever was charged of. So I don't know where you got the trespassing, my brother, but is that important to you?
I just wanted to clarify on a man with integrity. To me, that just makes sense.
A man running for council with a trespassing charge, that's important to you.
Oh, yeah. Just want to make sure that people...
Right on. You know what you do for me? You go look at the other track record of the other 13 candidates. Try to go dig up some of the closet stuff. Let me know what you find.
Oh, no, yeah. Don't worry. It's happening.
You take care. You take care, my brother. Right on. I like that caller. Carlos, so straight up, bring out a little bit of dirt. You know, that's what politics does, you know, bring out a little bit of dirt. But you know what I say, Carlos, to that caller? Does he have a child? Because that child might come to Coquille, and does he or she trust me with their child up in Coquille? How's that one?
There we go. Caller, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, I've called back again just to say that I have a daughter, and, you know, when I got off the phone before, and then the uncle called in and talking about, like, thinking about the kids first. So I didn't preface that, because for me, I just, like, that's just in my heart anyway. But I did want to call back and say that out loud, and I actually took her, she's 2.5, and we went to the March Against March, back to March for getting the GMOs off the island and passing the bill, 2491, and she's chanting already, oh, GMO, you know, she's 2.5, and she's chanting it. She knows it. Like, we just want to see our kids grow up with good, healthy, organic food. So thank you so much, DaCosta, for having that vision. I don't know about it, but I'm happy to hear about the Koke'e with the keiki and the overnight and sustainability. That's the direction, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. And thank you to the people texting me, letting me know the caller's phone line is not coming out at maximum volume. I've got it as high as it can, and we will address that with our studio technicians as soon as we can. Go ahead, caller. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh,
So the caller that called from the west side earlier hit it on the head. We need to stay positive, so we don't need to be making false accusations on people. And it's funny how that happens during election time, but on both sides. But Billy, I want to tell you first off, thank you for having the courage to run. It takes a lot of courage. I know you've done it twice now. It's not easy to stand up in front of people and give your views, and I know you haven't taken any money, which means a lot to me, because I know you know that this company or this country is really a corporatocracy. I've had discussions with you about that, so I appreciate your truth on that. But I just want to say in general, not towards Billy or anybody else, because I keep hearing this come up, you know, on the pesticide issue, and I hate we always harp on it, but just because they're big companies, we shouldn't shy away from wanting to protect ourselves. And I know, Billy, you know that, but I just want to say in a very generalized way, we should not have that view. And thank you for running, and I will be voting for you. And good show, Carlos. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, caller.
Thanks, caller. 826-7771. We've got a young observer in the studio who will remain nameless unless she wants to talk. But anyway, she's been coming a lot. People are actually enjoying her. We've got open phone lines and just probably 10 more minutes to go. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. We're keeping it moving as fast as we can. If you'd like to make a statement, you can just say, hey, I'd like to make a statement. Or if you have a question, if you could try to boil it down to about a minute or so, and we'll keep things moving until the end of the show. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, first of all, talk about Gary Hoosier, and he was talking about 2491, and Gary Hoosier may not have done his homework. A person, you have done your homework, because Gary Hoosier did for 4 years try to get information and the state to help out. My question to you is, are you going to be that way all the time? Are you going to be doing the same thing to people that you're accusing people of?
Are you asking if I'm accusing Gary Hoosier of not doing his homework?
Yes, you did.
I said that I thought we went about it the wrong way. I thought we went about it by introducing a bill that got
tried to get them to give the information. They wouldn't give the information. That's herbicides they're spraying. Herbicides is grasses. Side, it means kill. It's going to kill all the grasses. You know where herbicides come from? It comes from gases that was made during the First World War. Gases that kill human beings by stopping their nervous system from working. This is the same chemical. So Gary Hoosier did his homework. And you did not do yours. Because if you knew you live on the west side, no, this side has got more cancer than anybody else. The national rate is 27% for cancer. On the west side, it's up to 38%. Did you know that?
So we got the statistical data. So what are we doing with our data? Are we moving towards anything?
Ask me what we're doing. I want you to know I want to ask you what you're doing. You spewing forth and you're not giving me any answers. You ask me, we will start... what was that thing? Co-op. You have 8.5 acres. Why don't you get off the dime?
Ten and a half.
Everybody and take your 8.5 acres and do something about it.
Thank you. And maybe if I can save some of that property tax dollar that I have to pay, I can start a farm. But I appreciate it.
You go and make an educational place out of it, you can get a break. I bet you didn't know that. I thought you said you was a business person.
Caller,
I like this guy. I like people who can shoot from the hip, and you know, I like
shoot
it.
From the hip, I shoot from knowledge.
You shoot from knowledge.
That's right.
For a gentleman that bought 10.5 acres and 3 houses, I think I speak for myself.
You got 8.5 acres. That you have 3 houses, 8.5 acres, and you can utilize that for making a co-op. Get off the dime, start your own co-op.
Caller, I'm going to jump in and I want to, because I feel the passion and I actually feel the anger below that. And if you could just direct that completely, because I know it's beyond Billy DaCosta. What?
You want to stop me from?
No, I want to actually give you the.
That's what you do. You stop people when they start to attack Billy DaCosta.
No, you don't, because I've never talked to Billy before. Actually, I've never talked to Billy before. But you interrupted me. But what I was going to say is, if you could make the statement that absolutely addressed what the anger is underneath.
I just did.
Beyond that, though, the bigger thing is living on the west side.
A different subject?
No.
We're sticking to the fact that I said Gary Hoosier did his homework, and Billy DaCosta did not find out that Gary Hoosier did it. What is he going to do? Then I said to him, you have 8.5 acres, you have 10 acres
with three houses, 8.5 acres left over. Why don't you start a co-op? And he came back with, oh, just pay my taxes. You know, you can get a tax break.
I cannot get the tax break because I have two rental units that I rent out,
your
so I don't qualify.
Units, there you go. Yeah. That's not your problem. You put those two rental units and you can still get an educational tax break. Did you know that?
Yes, thank you. Sound like we got to drink coffee together one day and talk stardom.
Never with you.
Oh, yeah?
Because I want to know one question. How come you're not teaching at Waimea High School anymore?
I'm not teaching at Waimea High School. I got a better job, I guess, up at the Koke Discovery Center.
Job? Come on. Waimea High School is a state job. You can get yourself there and you can stay there.
I'm a state employee teacher at the Koke Discovery, an area where the superintendent sends kids overnight. They send kids overnight. What job description?
Someone you just said, you're a state teacher. I am. Okay.
It's a state entity. It's a state position.
I don't think so.
Okay, Carl. Well,
hey, you know what? Let me tell this caller.
Yeah,
go ahead. Hey, take care, my brother. You take care.
I am not voting for you.
That's okay. Fine. That's okay.
Politics, because you tell.
That's okay. Thank you.
You're trying to tell us GMO is very important. It's a good source of food. It's a very good source of food. But the spraying of 19 tons of herbicide is not good. If you do the math, it's 190,000 gallons of herbicides. Did you know that?
I've done some research. Maybe not to that point, but I've done some research.
19 tons? How many gallons does that mean? How many pounds? How many actual pounds? 19 tons? Because it needs to be mixed with water. It comes here as a concentrate. They don't come here ready-mixed, ready-to-use, like you find at Ace Hardware. It comes here in a concentrate. And I know the concentrate is 5 to 1. 5 gallons for five tons of water to 1 gallon to 1 ton of herbicide. That's the ratio.
Hey, caller.
Did you know that? Did you know it comes here as a concentrate?
Caller, I want to ask you, where can I get the statistics? Because you misunderstood
me.
I wasn't.
Where I get the statistics?
No, hold on. Okay. Can I get them? Because that's really good stuff. I want to bring that on the radio. So I'm actually.
It is.
Yeah.
What it is, because you folks don't do your homework. You expect me to sit here and be happy with the information you folks have feed me? Come on. I checked it out. What is it that you're not clear of? That they bring 19 tons of concentrate here?
No, you were actually mentioning specific numbers, and I guess you haven't listened to the show with me because I'm really not an apologist for the GMOs. So,
Ace Hardware.
Okay.
Roundup is 7 to 1. So I'm giving them a break, and I don't know any better. I'm saying it's less than 7 to 1, but it's 5 to 1.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna wrap this one up. But first of all, I want to give you my phone number, which you can yell at me and say you won't call. But I'm very open. I'd love to hear it. And
you're too much of a gotcha guy. You're telling everybody I'm not a gotcha guy. Yes, you are. You try to cut people off.
Okay.
Tell them which way to steer the conversation.
Huh. We got some anger going on.
Yeah. Well, I feel the passion. I think that you would probably find that you and I are on the same page. So, yeah. I think you might have me confused with somebody else, but
thank you very much.
We'll keep taking those calls.
God bless.
826-7771. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, how's it going?
Can you all hear me?
Yep. Can you hear us?
Yeah. You know what? I'll keep it short and sweet. I couldn't agree more with everything Billy stands for. You know, Billy, I spoke with you up in Coquay one time. Kind of nervous talking on the air, but be patient with me. Billy asked me, you know, you think I should run for council or you think I should keep on what I'm doing for the kids? And I thought, yeah, run for council. Actually, I couldn't answer the question for a while. But then I thought, you know what, either way, the outcome of this election, Kauai's going to win because Billy, if you get on council, great for the island and great for right now. If you don't, you're going to be affecting thousands of kids from this island and statewide eventually. So I just wanted to kind of wrap it up with that. Just win-win situation either way. Lots of love to you, Billy.
You know, caller, you sound so familiar. And it's parents like you that make my job and make the kids akamai about the land and the malamara aina. And that last caller that came in really puzzled me a little bit, because I'm one of three teachers that went through a rigorous interview process with the state superintendent that allowed children to stay overnight at my program. I have to have a clean background in order to have kids sleep overnight with me. So I'm not impressed with that caller who just called in. I don't think he did his homework. But apparently I must have impressed you and your keiki. And it doesn't matter, win or lose in a politic role. I'm going to continue to educate the kids, promote sustainability, have them be complex thinkers and make up their own decision, huh?
Yeah, and I'll add one more thing too, Billy. Is, you know, you look at great football teams, great sport teams, great businesses. It's not one person that makes a team. It's the players on the ground, the laborers, and the wise decision makers at the top. And when you find someone that can make those decisions and go down to the labor level, that's a winner right there. And there's politicians who can be all talking, wah, and there's, you know, that's the thing about you is you're not just talk. You go out, you walk the walk. And for anyone who doesn't know Billy, you know, sorry, Billy, but give him a call, talk story, see his ideas, listen to him, and give him a chance.
Thank you,
and
buddy.
Billy, I'll see you around.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you,
Carlos. All right. 826-7771. We got maybe five more minutes left with Billy, and then we'll open it up for the last 15. And thank you so much for coming in. And it is sitting on the hot seat. To that previous caller out there, I'm always impressed when people give their numbers on the air, the politicians or the candidates. But here's mine, too. And if you don't think I'm doing a good job or you think I'm steering the conversation, shame on me if I'm actually doing it. And if I'm not doing it, maybe there's a little misconception. But my number is 635-9382. I always love to hear from the listeners that if I'm not doing a good job, I want to do a better job. 826-1583-HOME and 635-9382. We got time for two more calls, and I've got them. So if you're on the line right now, you're good. If you're not, we're going to wrap it up and let Billy get out of here. The gate gets locked. 826-7771. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Mr. DeCosta.
You got to step away from your radio.
Yes, let me turn my radio down. Hi, I missed the first part of the call, but I was at the forum last Tuesday in Kapaa, and you have a great personality. You were fun. You were kind, and I want to support you. Are you for or against GMO and the pesticide company? I did miss the beginning of this, and I didn't get it.
I
thank you very much.
Thanks, caller. We'll take that off the air.
Yeah, I'm going to answer this the best of my ability, huh? And I said it before at the YMEA forum, and I'm going to say it again that those corn companies are going to stay, and I believe they need to stay for a little while because we have employment going on and people need that paycheck. There's just a large community out there that need it. I would like to see other diversified businesses out there that can eventually take over the burden of employing our people and having our economy flourish. I would like to see that happen. But as of right now, I would not want to ask them to leave because I don't think we have any substitute right now. And we need to get a substitute, or substitutes in there. So I'm sorry if I didn't properly support you or support the vision, but I think the bigger vision is to have a diversified ag on the west side with multiple companies growing food crops, sustaining our cattle industry with a feedlot, maybe possibly another organic dairy on lands that are far away from hotels and homes. And that's my take on it. And GMO, we have some genetically modified apples that were on the TV recently, 17 years of an apple crisp that finally hit the market. So I know penicillin is another genetically modified medicine that helped human beings fight bacterial infections. At the same time, I think it's too new. It's been around too short of a time, and we need to do just a little bit more data research before I can say I support GMO. How's that?
That's good. There's a lot of issues out there, but this does seem to be the issue of the election.
Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead, caller. If you can make it fairly brief, I'd appreciate it. We're almost out of time.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hey, what's happening, Carlos?
Hey, man. How's it going?
You know, I hear you guys talking about diverse agriculture and farming and cattle farms, dairy farms. But you know, I want a concrete answer, a solution to how do you really feasibly want to create these farms. If Kauai's top water rivers and ditch canals have reduced by over 50%, we don't have our reservoirs anymore. They're talking about tapping into our valley. We ain't going to get the water, really. Yet nobody's talking about water.
Well,
we've got to reestablish the flumes so that we stop eroding, because we are the second fastest spot on the planet eroding. It's fast. Everything west of us is asphalt. And then, you know, these dairy farms. I'm for the dairy farm. I think this plan that they got is pretty diverse, but there's still critics out there with the manure. You know, as a politician, this is when you're supposed to step it up and say, hey, look, we can create a new industry, sterilize the manure, and create Kauai fertilizer to support these farms that we're going to create by creating a historical preservation of our existing map flumes. So I heard you guys talking earlier about, you know, 100 years ago, never have environmental impact studies. Well, guess what? Those funnels are still there. You just got to clean up the bushes. All you got to do is reestablish the flumes. Then you're going to have water. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I believe some of that water is coming out right now from Kokie down to the west side corn companies.
Yeah, being harnessed whatsoever. And guess what? That's the west side is the GMO guys. They're one of the few guys that kept the flumes going.
Right, you guys on the east side.
It's eroding, man. You know the big storms, right here at the roundabout. All the flumes is all backfilled. I grew up up here, I'm telling you. My auntie gave their own property to backfilled. So what I'm telling you is, when we get these big torrential rains, there's nowhere for it to go. It gets shunted. That's another reason our reefs are actually dying, because we're putting more nitrates out there, more fertilizers, more whatever. Even people talk about, oh, you know, GMO companies, but yet they go and use chemicals to wash their car. They get batteries, they leave in the yard. All of that stuff goes. But as a politician, this is what I want to hear coming out of your mouth. Solutions.
My brother, not a politician yet.
I don't want to keep
running for politics.
Hold on. I don't want to keep hearing, oh, diverse ag, diverse ag.
Right.
What's your plan for diverse ag?
If you was listening.
How do you want these farmers water back? Right? As a politician, seriously wanting to be a county council member, I'm tired of hearing the plan. I like to hear the plan to get the action done.
Can I do nothing if I'm not in office?
Oh, I'm with the kids educating them. But look, I personally go with my chainsaw. I've been with some of the boys right down your house last. You know, we reestablish some of these old waterways, you know, but it needs more manpower. Right? How many people have tickets that they owe the county money, but they cannot get them, and the county can't afford to put them in jail? Let's get them going.
Let me ask you a question.
There's all kinds of solutions, Bob.
Can I ask you a question?
And the fact that everybody keeps bogging down with this posturing doesn't do our county
right.
any good.
Can I ask you a question?
You can ask anything you like, brother.
Yeah, I'm not a politician yet because I never get elected. Have you ever thought about seeking your 7 politicians and asking them? Because you have some good views.
No,
you know, you have some strong manao.
You know,
and what is your outcome with Ross Kagao or Mel Raposo or those guys?
My vote, though. They're not even on the fence for my vote.
I see.
So you on the fence, bro. You know what I mean? You like my vote, but this is the kind of stuff I like here. When these guys press you hardcore, I don't like you. I'm helping you. Right now. I think we'll tell you that when they come at you, reroute them with a solution. And one of the solutions is, let's reestablish our water so that we can actually give cheap water. But here's some food for thought. Now, we can retrofit every one of these ditch intersections with a small little hydro.
And run some electricity. Very good idea.
You know what I mean? And each moku, because batteries are dirty too, but let's get real. You know these transfer stations? You can't have personal transfer stations at each house. You can have each moku at one. That all your solar and your hydro is tapping in, and then you give competition to KLUC.
Hey, Carlos, before you go out, I want to tell this gentleman, hey, guy, thank you very much. You impressed me. And as a possible candidate, if I get elected, you're the kind of guys that we can sit down with and get the knowledge from. I'm not the guy with all the answers. You guys get the answers. I'm just going to be there to help facilitate it. So I don't have to have all the answers, but I have to be the guy willing to be open and dialogue the conversation. So thanks, brother. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, fella.
See you later, my friend.
Okay.
Aloha. All right, this is the last call. Then we got some station business. And coming up next, Jazz with John.
And Billy DeCosta in the hot seat. 826-7771.
It's been hot, man. I tell you what.
Okay, caller, got to turn that radio off, and then we can jump right in.
Okay. All right. Is that better?
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Costa, thank you very much for coming on the program and being very direct. My question to you is, could you please give us all your definition of sustainability? And after that, if you could tell us the reason why you're adamantly opposed to legalizing marijuana and you're doubtful about medical marijuana. So those are two issues that are important. One, the legalization of marijuana is being carried out in various states at this time, and some of them have been successful. And medical marijuana is in greater use, and being a cancer survivor myself, medical marijuana has proven to be a benefit to my getting through the chemotherapy. And I will yield the radio waves to you, sir.
Okay, thank you. So we had a question. First of all, your definition or understanding of sustainable agriculture and...
Not agriculture. He said, yeah. What is my definition of sustainability?
Thanks.
My definition of sustainability is when I look at this girl sitting inside our radio station, a young, educated female, I want to see all of our keikis to become educated so someday they can sit in all the powerful positions, whether they may be a governor, a mayor, head of Department of Ag, president of a large seed company, and they all make the decisions that benefit their community. When we have all our keiki with the same vision in the same position, we'll sustain our own values. That's my big vision of sustainability, not the small vision. As far as legalizing recreational use marijuana, still no on that. Saw it ruin a lot of kids' lives. Medical marijuana, I told you I'm on the fence on that. I could be persuaded. I just want more data, more facts. And, yeah, and nice talking to you, my brother.
And how do people get you data and facts once again?
742-7044 or my cell 639-8533. Go to my Facebook page. And I'm pretty sure if I get elected, I'll be much more visible. How's that?
Sounds good.
Thank you, Carlos.
All right.
I had a nice time chit-chatting on the hot seat.
My buns
are a little burned right now, Carlos. Yeah. But
yeah, you did good. You know, to the callers out there, there was many years where I had strong opinions on the show, and I would push back or push forward. My job, especially now during political season, is not to try to push any agenda. It's to try to listen to the candidates, but most importantly, get the questions from the caller. So I apologize to that one caller if he thought I was protecting. I think you'd find we're coming from the same place, caller out there. You know who you are. And there's my number, 635-9382. Call me up and yell at me. I'll listen for up to 3 or 4 minutes of yelling, but then we can get down to the specifics and see how we can make it better. And that's it. We got Jazz with John. I know. I got one last call. You want to take one last call, Billy?
Go ahead.
They snuck in. Okay, you're our last caller. What's on your mind? You got 1 minute to make your statement or question.
That's a stretch, Billy, that you've seen marijuana ruin people's lives. I mean, you could say that with alcohol, and that would be pretty on the money, but I mean...
Well, let's ask Billy...
That's a real stretch as far as I'm concerned. You know, I mean, and by the way, I mean, you live in Kauai. How many people live in Kauai? There's billions of people on the planet, right? You know, and there's millions and millions of successful, bright, articulate, wonderful, kind people that have smoked marijuana.
Caller, I'm gonna cut you off right now. You're gonna get mad at me, but I'm gonna actually give Billy an opportunity to say how has marijuana ruined people's lives?
I think if you're an adult and you have a job and you can smoke marijuana and handle your job or smoke it recreationally, that's fine. But I don't believe making it legal and having our children think it's all right. I've taught high school for 10 years. And I've seen high school kids use marijuana and end up in a gateway type of drug for some other more harmful drugs. So I'm trying to tell you that I have the experience with what happened. I don't know how much experience you have with children, but I do.
All right.
They've got a lot of work to do, you know, to be correct. You know, they've become corrupt. The U.S. government. I guess you don't listen to Democracy Now. That's my advice to you, because there's a lot of that I like about you, Billy. You know, there's a lot to like about you. I'm not saying that, you know. You're a fun, nice, neat person, you know. But when you say you love, hello?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm all ears to you.
We got 30 seconds.
When I do believe that, is 400 jobs worth one kid? If it's especially your kid who gets cancer from pesticides.
No, it's not.
Pesticides.
No, you're right.
Pesticides.
You're right.
That's what that caller was right. They were designed to kill people. And people, when you're roasting marshmallows up at Coquet, do you wear hazmat suits?
No, we don't.
No, because it's just like, you know, at any rate, good luck with your life. I mean, like I say, there's a lot I like about you, Billy, but I'm not voting for you. And good luck, because you have a good life, and all the best to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
All right. Running for politics.
Yeah.
You got to take it. You got to listen.
At
some point, is there, if there was an amount of people that continue to grow, would you feel like at some point, Billy, there would be a tipping point for you as a county councilor? If X amount of people started showing up at these things, would there be a significant amount that would make you go, wow, okay?
Yeah, I mean,
what do you think?
Lost for words right now, there, Carlos. All
okay.
I can tell you was, I think we had a really good showing today on the radio.
Yeah.
We had some really hot topics. I expected nothing less.
Anyone that answers yes
I
or no,
I actually say
I'm
that
impressed.
If there's any group of people that can put Billy DeCosta in office, would be some of the east side and the north side. Because I think on the west side, that's where my home roots, home grass state, you know, community I'm from. So I don't know if I impressed or not, sure, or the east side. Maybe I haven't, maybe I did. We're going to find out with election day. I had a nice time chit-chatting with you out here in Princeville, and I look forward to bringing Kilauea's Keiki and Hanley's Keiki up to Coquille next month.
All right, and one last time, Facebook, Billy DeCosta?
Yeah, sure.
And home phone number?
742-7044.
742-7044. And my respect goes out to anyone that throws their hat in the public forum and the public ring and running for office, because we were not supposed to have career politicians. I believe the founders thought we'd have the best and the brightest from our communities serve for a short period of time, a couple of years, a couple of terms, but not lifers.
Correct.
So, let's get more people involved.
Thank you.
Thanks, Billy.
Yeah, good luck.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to let you out of the gate, so you got to wait about 7 or 8 minutes before we wrap things up. Coming up next, Jazz with John, and Talia's in the house. No, I got your name wrong. I'm so dyslexic.
Oh, no, you got it right.
I got it right, because there was was that you that texted?
Yes.
Okay. Talia is our young observer. She's coming in. She's tasting radio, and I don't know. Hopefully we'll get her in here in the future. So did you listen to the show today, on at least the last...
I was only able to listen to part of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is GMO a litmus test issue for you?
Litmus?
It means like a binary, like black or white, yes or no. Or is
I
it,
am totally against GMO.
You're completely against it. How about the young people that you go to school with?
Pretty much all my friends are against GMO, too.
Okay. Interesting.
It's interesting to think about it, because I did have one friend that did challenge me on GMO. And, of course, I'm just, like, stamping my foot down saying, no GMO, no GMO. But then he said, oh, well, what if GMO could, like, somewhat change? And he gave me all these, like, scenarios to if GMO did something different or stopped doing all these things. And, of course, I said, oh, well, they're not going to, so I'm still going to be against it. But, you know, it's interesting to think about it, because if GMO for some reason made some drastic change and actually started helping people using good ingredients and good spraying stuff, then, yeah, then I don't think I would be fully against it. But right now I don't think they're really on the path to change that. So.
All right. Talia, thank you. Billy, thank you. Jazz with John next. We're going to wrap up some station business, and you got some great music coming your way. Aloha. And it's not playing.
KKCR.